Let me begin the message. There is confusion in the earth today as to who Jesus was or is. There is confusion of how you get to heaven. And I'm going to share with you the world's beliefs about Jesus as I preach the message, is there proof that Jesus is the only way to heaven? 1.5 billion people on the planet believe that Jesus is not the Son of God, but he was one of the 25 great prophets that were sent to earth. 1 billion people on the planet, they're religious, but they believe that Jesus was a sadhu, which means a holy man, or he was an avatar. Now, that's not something from Disney, by the way. An avatar was considered to be the incarnation of a deity. 1 billion people believe that about Jesus. He is some kind of a holy man or an incarnation of a deity, but there again, they have no connection with him as Savior or Lord or forgiver of sins. 500 million people in the world believe that Jesus was a reincarnation that lived many different lives, but eventually was born on the earth and found himself in what is one of the highest levels of life in the form of someone who could perform miracles. Once again, they don't believe it the way Christians teach it, nor the Bible, but they do believe that he was reincarnated over and over again. Secular individuals believe that Jesus was simply a man that started a global religion, but they do not believe he was crucified, buried, and definitely do not believe he was raised from the dead. He eventually died. End of story. And the Christians made up the rest of it. 1.1 billion people are religiously unaffiliated. If you were to ask any of them whom Jesus was, they would probably say that he was a myth. The story was a fabrication by devout people who believed in him if he did exist, but he's dead, and the disciples, according to the scriptures, and that's what the Romans said, not the disciples, but the Romans said, while we slept guarding the tomb, his disciples stole the body. What that means to you and I is this. There are 4 billion people on the planet, over half the population, that do not believe as you and I in this room believe. If they believe that there's a heaven, there are 4 billion people that believe there are different paths that get us all there. In fact, the comment is made, all gods are the same. So they place Yahweh, Jehovah God, in the category of maybe a god of another religion or even an idol that people worship. And there's all sorts of idols in the earth and idolatry going on in the earth today in the nations of the world. But I've come by to pose a question that if all gods are the same, somebody explain to me how the gods of Egypt could not stop the 10 plagues of Yahweh. If all gods are the same, somebody explain to me why the Pharaoh's God couldn't keep the Red Sea open for 600 chariots to get to the other side. But when Moses held up his rod, the God of the Hebrews drowned an entire king and his army at the bottom of the sea. If they're all the same, why couldn't the Egyptian God stop it? If all gods are the same, why didn't Dagon, the Philistine God, prevent himself from breaking apart and falling on his face before the golden ark of the covenant that represented the God of the Hebrew people? Why didn't Dagon have power to keep staying where he was? Why did he fall out in the spirit? If all gods are the same, somebody explain to me how when Daniel went to the lion's den, the Hebrew God shut the mouth of all the lions, but when you find out the next mornings when his Babylonian accusers were thrown in, they got completely devoured till nothing was left but lions licking their bones. How come Murdoch, the god of the Babylonians, did not protect the Babylonians in the lion's den, but the God of Daniel was there before he ever arrived? If all gods are the same, how come when the fiery furnace was heated seven times hotter, that three Hebrew boys marched into the flames and were thrown in it. And when they said, "Who do you see through the hole in a rock?" the guy said, "Didn't we throw three?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Well, they're walking around having a Jericho march in the middle of the fire, and there's a fourth man that I don't know who he is, but he looks like the Son of God that's in the middle of the flames." And then we read that the Babylonians were then, when they threw the Hebrews into the fire was so hot it consumed the clothing and the bodies of the Babylonians. Somebody tell me, with all of the Babylonian temples and Babylonian deities, why couldn't the boys that got burnt and died scorched like an ash, why couldn't they call on the name of one of their gods that could have quenched the violence of the fire? Why did the Hebrew God have the power, but the idols did not? Somebody tell me, if all gods are the same, why is it that when the handwriting on the wall occurred at the party at midnight, there was not a wise man in Babylon, there was not an astrologer or a magician in the Babylonian temple, nor in the banquet hall, that could interpret the handwriting on the wall? But they had to call an old prophet by the name of Daniel out of his bedchamber, and Daniel came said, "Well, if you want to know, it's mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and this night is your kingdom." But somebody tell me that if all gods are the same, why did every Babylonian fail to interpret the handwriting on a wall? Can I tell you why? Because when God speaks, only God's people can hear him. When God writes something down, only God's people can know what he wrote down. I'll just add one more here. If gods are the same and they are equal, the Assyrians had a great god that they believed in with the temple in the area of Syria, a massive temple. It is so huge that you wouldn't believe how big it is. But it's really strange that an angel came down one night in the city of Jerusalem that was surrounded by 185,000 Assyrians. And in one night's time, 185,000 Assyrians lay dead across the Mount of Olives and across Mount Scopus and in the Kidron Valley. And all it was an angel of God. Why couldn't the king pray to his God as the men started gasping for breath and ask his God to spare him, ask his God to heal him, ask his God to protect him? Why was it all of Israel was protected from a plague, but there was no Hebrew that died, but 185,000 Syrians were found dead the next day? The reason that there is a difference between our God and their God is their God is a false God. It has ears that cannot hear. It has eyes that cannot see. It has a mouth that cannot speak. It has hands that cannot reach down. But when I talk about my God, I read in the Bible where it said the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. I read in my Bible that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And then I read this, and his ear is open to their cry. I'm telling you that when you begin to read the features about our God in the Old Testament, you'll discover that he has hands and he has feet and he has eyes and he has ears and he has a mouth and he can speak. His voice is like that of a shofar, and at times it's like thunder. I'm telling you, all gods are not the same. There is only one real God in the universe, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the God that you've been worshiping the past 2 hours. So why don't you let the real God know you believe who he is? Which brings us to this question: what makes Jesus different from any other religious leader that formed a religion? We have 66 books called the Biblios, the Bible, which means books. And I want to tell you something interesting, that when Jesus was resurrected on the road to Emmaus, two of his disciples were walking and talking, and he slipped in among them, but their eyes were restrained that they did not realize who he was. We know one was called Cleopas And because Luke wrote about the road to Emmaus incident, most scholars say it was Luke who wrote Luke's gospel. Cleophas and Luke that are walking together. And I've been to the Emmaus area. It's 18 miles from Jerusalem if you drive it. So Jesus is walking, but their eyes are restrained that they do not know him. They begin to say, "Sir, are you a stranger here in town? Have you not heard what happened? This one called Jesus of Nazareth that did miracles and raised the dead and did these wonderful things was crucified among us, and they took his life." And he looked at them and said, "Oh, you slow to believe." And I quote to you from Luke 24, "And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them what they said about him." Moses is the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So when it says that they started with Moses, Jesus started with the Torah in the book of Genesis and went all the way to the very last book. And then it says he went into the prophets. So I may suggest to you, based on what I know of many hours of Bible study, what Jesus told them that day. Jesus said, "Well, boys, let me begin in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, we know they didn't have chapters and verses then, but I'm going to preach it the way I want to preach it. Let me just go to the beginning where God said to Adam, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and thy seed, and it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He said, "Sirs, do you not understand that that's a prophecy about the Messiah and how the Messiah would have a wound, but the wound would be eventually on his heel?" Now, you got to understand that the crucifixion, forget the pictures you've seen, they found a crucified man's heel in Jerusalem that goes back to the time of Jesus, and they put the nail not here in the front, it goes into the heel. I've seen it. It's on display at the Hebrew University. So when it says that the heel of the Messiah would be bruised, Jesus had bruises right there in the sandals he was wearing. They were there, but their eyes were holding that they could not see him. And then it says it'll crush the head of the serpent. The devil didn't realize it, but when the crucifixion was over, he was cruising for a bruising. And you know he's called a serpent, right? Well, did you know that in the garden, one of the things God did to the serpent in Genesis 3 is he cursed him to where he would crawl on the ground in the dust? Did you know that? Did you know what they found in Ramallah in Israel in a rock quarry? They found a snake with legs. They found a fossil that's thousands of years old, and it has two legs on it. It is not a lizard. It has no front legs. It has hind legs, and it was a snake that had legs. And when God Almighty cursed the serpent on the ground, he took those legs off. And there are serpents today that have two little hooks. They call it evolutionary process. That maybe they used to walk, but they lost their legs. No, they didn't, because Jesus was going to defeat him. Come on. God predicted that the snake would be defeated. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Not just defeated through the blood of Jesus, but going to take his legs off of him, chop his legs off where he would crawl in the dust, and he'd dust the rest of his life. Perhaps Jesus went to Genesis chapter 22 and said, "Boys, let me talk to you about Abraham. Do you know how Abraham was 3 days away? He looked up, he saw the mountains of Moriah, and it says that he took the wood and laid it upon Isaac, and they went up there on the altar, and God lifted up Isaac off of that altar, and there was a ram caught in the thicket." Have you ever read it where it says that Isaac said, "Where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "God will provide the lamb." It's in Genesis 22. But a lamb didn't show up, a ram showed up. And there's a difference between a lamb and a ram. The Bible said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. Abraham saw a lamb being offered on top of Mount Moriah, and that lamb was none other than Jesus Christ, because when Moses wrote Genesis 22 about this story of Abraham offering Isaac, he said, I quote, "As it is said to this day, we will call the name of the place Jehovah Jireh." Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. And the next verse in Genesis 22, Abraham, that Moses wrote, he said, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. What do you think is going to be seen? A lamb is going to be seen. A ram showed up. Isaac looked for a lamb. Abraham predicted a lamb, but a ram showed up with its horns caught in the thicket. That is not the fulfillment of what was predicted in Genesis 22. Because I believe Jesus said, boys, did you ever notice that Abraham went to Mount Moriah where the crucifixion of that man took place? Have you ever noticed that Isaac was laid on wood and the man that was crucified was laid on a wooden cross? Did you ever notice that Isaac got up and he was going to die, but he got up off of that thing? Did you notice, or have you heard a rumor, that the man that was on that cross on Mount Moriah might have got up out of the grave? But they're still not getting it. They're still not perceiving it. They're still not getting it. Maybe he went to Numbers 21 and said, now, do you remember how Moses took a brass snake and put a brass snake on a pole, and everybody that looked on that pole lived, and they had a plague, and the serpents had bit him, but the serpent's bite had no power when they looked at the brass snake hanging on the pole? And perhaps he said, I heard that this man taught, and it's recorded, by the way, in John 3, that a man came to him one night, and I heard that this man that you're talking about said to a rich man, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that he will draw all men to him. Gentlemen, have you heard that story? He keeps talking. Then he says, Psalms 22. He said, let's talk about what the prophets said. In Psalms 22, David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Gentlemen, is it true, were you there, that this man said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, when he was being crucified? Is that true? Oh, but wait a minute, gentlemen. If you keep reading the 22nd chapter of Psalms, it will tell you, they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. They surrounded me and they mocked me. And about that time, Luke and Cleophas are looking at one another saying, man, this guy really knows the scripture. He's putting this whole thing together. But the big one was when this Messiah that their eyes were hidden from went to Isaiah chapter 53. And I believe he may have quoted the whole thing. Have you read what the prophet Isaiah said? Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no comeliness in which we shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Yet we did esteem him smitten and afflicted. And when he got to this part, something happened. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Keep reading it. He said, and he said, he will make his soul a sin offering. And he said, he will be buried in a rich man's grave. And it was about that time, when he got to the end of that prophecy, that the two men looked at each other and their eyes were open, and they said, oh my, this is Jesus. We've been talking to him the entire time. And he disappeared from their sight. May I come by and tell somebody that the Bible in the Old Testament predicted that a Messiah was going to come, and the reason we know that Jesus is the Messiah are the following verses, and I'll go through these quickly. Isaiah chapter 7, 14 said he would be born of a virgin. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 said he'd be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 and 2 said he would live in the Galilee area. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12 said he'll be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Psalms 22 said he'd be crucified. Isaiah 53:9 said he would be buried in a rich man's grave. That was Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, he would die to free us from our sins. Psalm 16 verse 10, he would be raised from the dead. You will not leave his soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Now let me give to you a professor that got with his students to calculate the law of probability of prophecy. Now, If you were to read the weather, and let's just make this up, and it says there is a 50% chance, 50% chance that there's going to be rain coming today, what will the law of probability be? 50% is half of 100. 100 is the full probability, 50 is half. So there's a 1 in 2 chance that the rain's coming. Now, I could give you, I don't even like to use this example, but when people play the lottery, it's like 1 in 400 million that you're going to win. By the way, the odds are stacked against you. So that's what you call law of probability. This professor, I have his book, got his students together and said, okay, let us calculate the law of probability of one human being coming at one time, not spread out, not a bunch of guys spread out, one guy living on earth at one time that could take 8 prophecies by 8 prophets and fulfill them. And they went to the New Testament and they picked 8 that lined up with 8 of the Old Testament. Now, let me tell you the law of probability, the chance that one man anywhere in the world would ever be born that could fulfill 8 of the prophecies I've just listed. It's called 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Now, you that are mathematicians understand that 17th power is the number of zeros behind the number 1. So it's the number 1 with 17 zeros. I don't even know what number that is. I can't count that high. Zillion is about as far as I can go. Quadrillion, maybe. But I can't go beyond that. It's almost infinity. It's hard to comprehend. So Stover had to break it down for the students because it was hard for them to comprehend. So he calculated it and he said this. If you go to the state of Texas and you fill the entire state of Texas up with silver dollars up to your knee, about 250, up to the top of your knee. Now, this is the whole state of Texas. This isn't just Houston. This is not just Dallas. This is not just Austin. This is the whole state, even the desert, even the places where the cows roam. The whole state, 2 foot deep. Take a blind man. Fly him in a helicopter. Blindfolding. Take a red silver dollar, paint it completely red, and dump it in the middle of Texas, anywhere you want to dump it. Never tell the guy where you put it, but dump it anywhere you want to dump it. Then take a mixer, mix it up where it ends up somewhere in all the silver dollars. The chance that a blindfolded blind man in a helicopter can pick out with one chance, he has one shot, that red silver dollar is the same law of probability that Jesus could fulfill 8 prophecies.
During the 2024 Prophetic Summit, 5 speakers unlocked unusual prophetic mysteries, presenting striking insights that many attendees had never heard. We received several testimonies from those who attended. One attendee shared,
I've studied the Bible my entire life. I binge-watch prophecy programs. Before I came to the conference, I thought I'd heard everything. But after listening to these 13 messages and speakers, I realized I haven't even heard half of it and certainly don't know as much as I thought.
The 13 2024 Prophetic Summit messages are now available on CD, DVD, USB drive as MP3 audio files, as well as video on demand. Hear Jonathan Kahn as he unveiled the Josiah Manifesto, unlocking more end-time mysteries and patterns. Bill Cloud examined the question, where in the world is Palestine? He later taught what the Bible reveals about global warming. It's not what you think. Mark Biltz exposed the designs and plots of the internal war in America. Mark's second message is illustrated with PowerPoint charts, helping identify the true biblical calendar and amazing prophetic parallels. Lance Wallnau released a stunning revelation titled, How God Will Soon Shake the Visible and Invisible Kingdoms. Lance's second teaching will teach you about receiving the firstborn anointing that brings about the final fall of Satan's influence and the demise of his kingdom. Billy Crone proved by 12 facts exposing that aliens are actually demonic manifestations. You certainly don't want to miss this insightful message. Perry Stone's 5 new messages are 16 Harbingers, Parallels of the Days of Noah and Lot. Perry then explains the mystery of the 8th beast and the death wound that is healed. In his 3rd message, Perry will give you the 7 things that must happen before the Antichrist arrives. You will then be enthralled when Perry transports you into the future with the message, The Mystery of the New Heavens on the New Earth. This includes the biblical prophecy of an opening on earth where saints on the new earth can peer into hell. then Perry's most talked about and stirring message, exposing an early family secret in his Italian family, is called the 1915 Warning. This message could save your family's life. This truth can transform your relatives and children for eternity. The 13 audio CDs or USB drive are $70. The 13 DVDs are $105 per set, and the video on demand is available for $90. Invest in your future. Be informed of what is coming. Discover God's latest word on the last days. Listen or watch over and over again and glean important spiritual insights. You may order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or go online at perrystone.org. You may also send a check or money order and order by using the product codes on the screen. The address is Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Order today. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Folks, it's very important. We're having people contact us and tell us that they are being blown away by the teaching of the 13 services. This recent prophetic summit had the most revelatory right now word to help you to live in these times. It's not just about the future. This is how you live in these times, how to make it, how to not just survive but thrive. I'm imploring you again, get it while it's still available. Now, pay attention if you will, please, because I want to see if you live anywhere near these areas. Do you live near Willis, Texas? I'm going to be there Friday and Saturday, August the 16th and 16th and 17th. Do you live near Huntsville, Texas? I'm going to be at Family Faith Church, the Huntsville campus, on Sunday the 18th all day. Then, do you live anywhere near Huntington, West Virginia? If you do, I'm going to be at Christ Temple Church. This is a yearly event, Friday, all day Saturday and Sunday. And by the way, we have a partners meeting Sunday afternoon at Christ Temple. So you need to, all you partners need to keep that in mind. We sign books for the partners and meet and greet and so on. Also, September the 4th and 5th, Jesus People Proclaimed Church International or International Church, Deerfield Beach, Florida. Do you live in that part of Florida? Billy and Cynthia Thompson are leaders there. And then I'm going to be at that church. And then Sheridan Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, all you Tulsa folks, you keep wanting me to come out there. Here's a place for you to be on September the 8th. And then the main event, you have to register for it, is going to be October 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're so excited about this Awaken America event. And we're looking for many different denominations and many people who love Jesus to be there. Don't forget, Thursday night, World Prayer. Don't forget, Tuesday night service at Omega Center International. And don't forget perrystone.org, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. Stay in touch with us that way. God bless you. Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone, and we're about to have the greatest gathering in the history of the Voice of Evangelism Ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. On October the 1st through the 5th, we have our Awaken America event. Every denomination, patriots, Christians, believers from all denominations, you're invited to join me with Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, Joseph Z, with myself as keynote speakers. Jensen Franklin is coming. There has never been an event held at the Omega Center International like this. October 1, Tuesday night, through Saturday, October the 5th, with Pam's Fall Festival in the evening on Saturday. Register now at perrystone.org.